Today we'll continue our series on God's abundance by looking at healing. Healing is there's so many interesting things in the history of Christianity because people love to argue so much about everything. Healing is one of them. Some people think healing died with the apostles and God no longer heals people. So it's not important. Other people think it's the only important thing in Christianity. And if you're not continually healing blind people and raising the dead, there's something very wrong with you. Everybody has different views and opinions on it. But as usual, rather than spend all our time arguing over people's different opinions, other than to state that people have them, we'll go straight to the Word and see what the Word says. And what I will say in summary is, I have seen the greatest success when people do what the Word says, which is to pray, which is to fill their minds with God's Word, which is to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit and expect healing, and at the same time use their common sense to do what they can in the senses realm. Eat well, exercise, go to the doctor regularly, do what the doctor says. And I have been doing that for years. People have often asked me, should I pray and believe God for healing, or should I take medical advice and, you know, eat well? And I say, yes, do all of the above. And that's what I try to do. And I'm convinced that there are times where I'm healthy simply because I pray and try to keep my mind filled with the Word. I'm convinced there are times I am healthy because I'm eating well and taking the medicine my doctor told me to. And from day to day, I don't always know which it is that's helping me, but I do both. There's nothing in the Scripture saying it's evil to eat well, exercise, and listen to your doctor, although you'll find Christians that say it is. And then you'll find Christians that say certain types of organic food are godly and certain types of processed food aren't godly. And I just sort of chuckle at that because there's nothing in the Bible that talks about what's organic and what's vegan and fertilizers. It's just not in the Bible. Now, it may be true that a certain type of food is healthier than another type. And that's okay. And you eat the best way you feel you can eat. But don't try to tell me you're more biblical or more Christian because you got a granola that doesn't have an additive in it, and mine does. So I'm not saying this to discourage you from finding the healthiest food you can. I'm just saying let's separate what is good common sense advice, whether it's from medical or nutrition or exercise, and what the Word says. The Word is very, very clear that as we fill our minds with the Word, pray and operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit, it will lead to tremendous, vibrant health. And that's what we'll talk about today. But we also know from experience, and we've all lived a few years, that people that eat better, exercise more, and take the advice of their doctor, they also tend to do much better long term. So before we dive into the Word, I would want to be very clear, I'm recommending both. It's up to every person how much they want to trust medical science, how much they want to trust nutritional science, how much they want to trust exercise science. Everybody has that choice, and I'm not going to tell you what the best thing is for you. You probably all experience things, talk to experts, read books, and you have your own views on that. And I would encourage you to continue learning and growing in all of those areas. I think, especially as we get older, putting the time into learning in the senses realm what keeps you healthy is very, very wise. Just because God's made it available, let's take advantage of it. At the same time, operating the power of God is far, far, far greater. It's just, if you don't have to have a miracle to overcome something that you could have easily overcome by taking a vitamin or taking a walk every day, why not just take the vitamin and take the walk, or whatever else physically may help you? And then save your focus and your prayer and believing on those areas where medical science can't help. Because we all know that medical science and nutrition and all those things are not going to solve every problem. They'll solve a lot of them, but we know the power of God can solve anything. So, with that brief introduction, which I felt was important because this is such a controversial topic that people that we've known in fellowship for years will argue about it and have their own opinions, let alone all the fights and arguments that have gone on in the history of Christianity for 2,000 years. Just a very controversial topic. So, let's put the controversy aside now, and let's dive into God's Word and see what it says. Let's start in Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. And verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech, and his wife, and his maidservants, and they bare children. Now this was after Abraham was traveling with his wife Sarah. She was a very beautiful woman. He didn't want to admit to anybody that she was his wife, because he thought people would kill him to take Sarah, so he said, "She's my sister." But then the problem was Abimelech had his men take her and, in essence, bring her into what we call today into his harem. But before he touched her, Abimelech had a dream, and God told him, "You really screwed up, buddy. That woman's married. You touch her and you're toast." And everybody, what did he close up all the wombs of, God said something. Let's read it here. Verse 6, God said unto him, King Abimelech, in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against thee, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." So, it wasn't good. But look what happened when Abraham prayed. So it's verse 17, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So this was a situation where God was clearly involved. God is the one that closed up the women's wombs, so nobody in Abimelech's house could bear children. And then he told Abraham to pray for them, and the wombs opened up. And there's a fundamental distinction you're going to see here in healings, that there are promises in God's Word that we can simply pray and believe, and God will bring them to pass. But when it gets into doing specific things, like praying for every womb in Abimelech's household to open up, that's a little more detailed. That takes revelation. The thing you'll find is that we can all pray for deliverance. And if it's something God's promised, He will honor our prayer as we pray with believing, and He will bring it to pass. But where God has not promised something specific, that's when we need the revelation manifestations. And you'll see so many examples of this, where Jesus Christ or Peter or Paul or Abraham or Moses or Elijah, so many of them prayed for some fantastic thing that involved healing. It was by revelation. Like when they started worshiping the Israelites in the wilderness did something ungodly, and God sent fiery serpents among them and were killing them. And then they finally came to Moses and say, "We goofed up, help." So Moses prayed, and God told him to make a brass snake and hold it up, a brazen serpent, and everybody that looked at it was healed. Now, I can't just decide to walk into a hospital with a brass snake and everybody that looks at it's going to be healed. But by the revelation Moses got, that's what God decided was going to be sort of the trigger point to start the healing process, was when people saw this brass snake. That was God's choice. And God told Moses, and Moses did what he said, and then the people acted on what Moses said, and the person was healed. Same thing when Jesus Christ, had the blind man come to him, and he took some dirt and spit in it, made clay of the spittle and put it in the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. There's nothing inherently healing in dirt or saliva or the pool of Siloam. But that's what God decided was going to be the way this man got healed. And maybe it helped the guy's believing. I don't know, but it's what God said. Jesus Christ carried it out. The man believed it and acted on it, and he was healed. So that's one thing. The other thing one can always do is pray. So how do I stay healthy? Well, this is what I do. I'm sort of talking about me, but it would be true for anybody. The first thing you do, like I said, is try to eat and live as healthy as you can. The next thing you do is pray every day for health and strength. That may be all you need. But then if something else goes wrong, you can certainly ask God what to do. And as you get more and more comfortable with the revelation manifestations, God can tell you. He can say, command it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Or he can say, go over and talk to Herman over there. Herman's really good at operating these manifestations. I don't know who Herman is. He's sort of like Johnny Jump-Up. He's a fictional person. Herman's really good at these manifestations. Go ask Herman to pray for you. Or God may say, you need to start, eating more rutabaga. Or God may say, go to Dr. Smith, because Dr. Smith specializes in this and he'll know what to do. God can do all kinds of things. I don't know what God's going to tell you. But I know that you can absolutely pray for healing. But to get more specific information, you're going to need revelation. And, many of us here have had the privilege of having Dr. Werwell teach on the worship manifestations. I did a class several years ago. It's on our website. That is basically a simplified version of Dr. Werwell's advanced class. That has a lot of the same information he taught us. So that's available. But also just reading records. We're going to do that today. We're going to read a lot of records about where people were healed with the power of God. And every time you read one, you learn more. Now keep in mind that your experience in your life or the experience of somebody you're ministering to will never be identical to one we read in the scriptures. What we learn from the scriptures is two things. Number one, we learn about God's amazing power and ability to heal. And the other thing is we get glimpses of how the men and women of God who operated that power did so. We see this is what Elijah often did. We see this is what Jesus Christ did. And we see how they walked with God and how God worked with them. I mean, look at examples like Gideon, where there was not a healing, but he was really nervous about going down to fight, I think it was the Amalekites. Might have been the Moabites, but he was all worried. And God worked with him, with the dry fleece and the wet fleece. And God helped him. And when you read that, it sort of gives you a big picture of the ways that God can help people. How he helps you will be unique to you. But he will find a way to work with you that you can relate to and that helps you help God's people. Because the other thing to remember as you're out ministering to God's people and as you're taking care of your own health, God wants to help people more than we do. I mean, we all have a great love for God's people and people we meet on the street, and we want to help them. But even more, God does. So keep that in mind as you're praying to be able to minister effectively and bring deliverance to God's people. That God really wants to get through and help his people. And if you're willing to go do it, he will help you. He will show you things. He will work with you. Sometimes you just got to stick your neck out and go try. And that's why many times what Dr. Werwell would teach us is when somebody comes to you and wants to be ministered to, you just pray for them with your understanding. And then if you get the revelation to go beyond the prayer with the senses based on the promises in the scripture, then you go the next step and actually operate the manifestations of gifts of healings and perhaps miracles to bring greater deliverance. But until you get the revelation, you can't just jump in there and command people to be raised from the dead and command their broken legs to, you know, snap back into place. But when you get the revelation to do that, you certainly can. And there are many records in the scriptures. I think we read some last week when we were talking about persistence, where people, you know, men of God had to walk to and fro till they got revelation to actually perform the miracles to bring people back to life. And Jesus Christ, you know, prayed for the guy who, another guy who was blind, and the first time he saw men as trees walking, he didn't get completely healed. So Jesus Christ ministered to him a second time. So we can always go in there and pray, but we need the revelation to actually perform the miracle. And I know sometimes we think some people are so sharp they always get instant revelation. Well, it's not true. People get revelation when God, first of all, they have to be receptive and listening to God, but God has to be willing to give it. Remember that time in Jeremiah where, you know, they were all worried that the Babylonians were going to come back and kill everybody? So they went to Jeremiah and said, "What should we do?" And Jeremiah said, "I'll ask the Lord and tell you." And 10 days later, God told him what to do. Why did he wait 10 days? I don't know. But some people wouldn't wait 10 days. They'd figure, well, I'm the man of God. I have to have an answer. And they'd basically make something up. That's not walking with God. That's trying to look cool in front of the group. So he waited 10 days. And then Jeremiah got the revelation. Then he went and talked to the group. Of course, nobody believed him, but at least, you know, that's what he did. So I'm sort of rambling with a little background information, but it's such a big topic and it's so controversial. Sometimes we just have to take a minute and sort of give you the big picture before we dive into the details. So Abraham prayed unto God and God healed Abimelech, but it must have been by revelation because God was in the middle of the whole thing from the beginning. And you don't just perform a miracle that great by your five senses. Let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And verse 26. Let's go back to verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, which is a word that means bitter, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. See, Moses didn't know what to do. He didn't make up an answer. He cried unto the Lord, "What do I do, Lord?" And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. Now, was there some chemical property in that tree? Or was that just something God did so that people could see something physical and then God just changed the chemistry of the water? I don't know. All I know is the revelation was, throw the tree in the water and it'll be okay to drink. So they did. When he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Verse 26, and he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am what? The Lord that healeth thee." That's one of the names God gives himself, the Lord that healeth thee. Isn't that something? He said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." He did. He kept them from the diseases that went on the Egyptians, and he cleaned the water up so they wouldn't get sick when they drank it. And just a sidelight, I think it's still true today. It's been true throughout most of history that dirty water has killed more people than all the wars and diseases in the world. Because dirty water carries so many pathogens and harmful things that it kills people. So This is interesting. Here they are, 1 hour out, and one of the first things God does is give them clear, clean water without all these fancy filters we have in our refrigerators. That's pretty cool. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalm 1. Yeah, that's a huge topic, so you have to forgive me if I ramble a little bit this way and that. There's just so much to cover. Okay, Psalm 1. And verse 1. Blessed is the man. Let me see if I got this right. I'm not sure if I have the right verse. My notes say that verse 3 says, he heals all our diseases. Interesting. I think I have the wrong verse. Psalm. I wonder what psalm does have, healeth all thy diseases. Well, there's a psalm that says, who healeth all thy diseases.
It's Psalm 103.
Thank you. That's much better. I thought if I rambled a minute, somebody would find it. Thank you. Let's go to Psalm 103. That sounds a lot more familiar. Okay, Psalm 103, in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. There we go again, right with Carol's prophecy. And our class in November. Who forgives all your iniquities, all your sin, all your shortcomings, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So that's part of what God does. He heals all our diseases. And then Psalm 107 is a very favorite one we're all familiar with. Matter of fact, I'd venture to say you all have read all of these verses many times. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word of God itself is healing. I mean, I see this so many days. I may have been a day where I don't feel very good. I'm a little nervous. My brain's a little fuzzy. I'm not thinking clearly. I just sit down quietly and read the word and pray and meditate on the word. And before you know it, just like it says in Philippians, by praying and looking to the Lord, my heart is peaceful, I feel better, and my whole life is improved simply by putting the word of God on in my heart and mind. He sent his word and healed them. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear or respect the Lord and depart from evil. It, respecting God, departing from evil, shall be health to thy navel and marrow unto thy bones. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You need marrow in your bones. I am not a medical expert by any means, but I think the bone marrow is where blood cells are made. And without bone marrow, you don't have a blood supply, and you unfortunately don't live very long. Of course, your navel is your abdominal area where there's so many different organs. So, again, I'm not the medical guy, but I know having a healthy navel and healthy marrow are two really important things for health. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So God's words are life to those that find them. That's what they bring. They bring life and they bring health. So just keeping our heads in the Word, just filling our minds and hearts with God's Word, just meditating on it, thinking about it, bring great health in and of itself. Let's go to Isaiah 53. This starts to talk about the ministry of Jesus Christ, prophesied back then. Isaiah 53. Here we go, Isaiah 53, in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he, and of course this is a prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. A slightly different translation in the New Revised Standard Version reads, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we account him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. So here we have griefs and sorrows, but another translation has infirmities and diseases. That's what he's carried. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Of course, we'll see this when we get to Peter in a little bit, that quotes this, that with his stripes, with his whiplashes, when he was being beaten, he was taking our sicknesses upon him. Now, Jesus Christ, we see this in his ministry. Now, this is what we read in Isaiah, is talking about around the time of his crucifixion when he's beaten. But before that time, he had a great ministry of teaching and healing, as we all know. And let's read a little bit about it in Matthew 4, verse 23. In Matthew 4, and verse 23... And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So that's what he did. He taught, which was, you know, to expound the scriptures. He preached, which is sort of an encouraging pep talk. And he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That was so much of his earthly ministry. He did so much. He taught the word to help them in that day and time. He healed so many. He cast evil spirits out of them. And at the same time, he was carrying out his ministry, which would lead to our having eternal life and the Spirit of God born within. He accomplished a great deal. A great understatement. Okay, let me scoot down in my notes a little bit. Mark chapter 8, verse 7. Here, Mark chapter 8 and verse 7. I may not actually finish all this today. I'll try to, but it's a little longer session than we usually have. Matthew 8, verse 7. And Jesus... Okay, Matthew 8, verse 7 to 13. Well, let's back up. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So this man understood giving orders, and he didn't have the Spirit of God. He wasn't probably what we would call a Christian, definitely not a Judean. He was a centurion, so he was raised as a Roman, probably raised to worship Roman gods, where they had gods like many polytheistic religions. You know, you had a god for the harvest, and a god for fertility, and a god for the rains, and, you know, maybe had a god for your football team. I don't know what they had. Plenty of gods. So he didn't come out of that, but he understood authority and power. And he said, look, I tell my servants, go and do this, or one of my soldiers in my group, and he'd go do it, and I get it. You're the same way with this sickness. Just tell it to go, and it'll go. Verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, truly I have not found so great faith, such believing, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come abroad from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Talking about in the future, after the resurrections. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. His point there is that there are a lot of people that will believe God, that after the resurrection will be talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but there are a lot of people who are of the children of Israel who should be believing God, but just don't believe God. They grew up that way. They should believe the scriptures, but they don't. And they'll be the ones in outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And I think we're going to read one more and then wrap it up. I've just got way, way too much stuff here to finish today. I was enthusiastic when I put the notes together. So we'll read one more in Matthew 10. Then we'll break and we'll pick up with Mark next time. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power or authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now this is fascinating. We'll get into this as we get more into next week. Matter of fact, I think I'll end today with this and then start with it again next time. Because as we know, Adam and Eve had spirit, they lost it in the fall, and then God could put spirit upon individuals which would allow them to operate the manifestations. Because of Jesus Christ's ministry, we now have the Holy Spirit born within, the gift of Holy Spirit, and it's innate within us. It reminds me of cars. I was thinking about this the other day. Newer cars have a zillion gadgets built into them, just because that's what they do, even a basic car without all the option packages. But if you have an older car, it didn't come with those gadgets. But you can probably buy one online, and if you're good enough at plugging it in and attaching it, you can make the car do some of the things the newer car would. But isn't it easier just to get the newer car where it's all integrated? Well, that's sort of the way we are with Holy Spirit. God very wonderfully put the Spirit of God on people who didn't have it, and as long as they kept it and walked with God, they would continue to walk with God. But then you got guys like Saul who walked away from God and they lost the Spirit. And then they could no longer operate the power of God. This is Saul in the Old Testament, not Saul or Paul in the New Testament. So it's fascinating that Jesus Christ starts by putting Spirit upon his apostles. Then they can go out and heal all manner of disease and cast out devils. Because without the Spirit, they wouldn't have the tools, so to speak, to do the job. I can tell you to go dig a massive ditch, 100 miles long and 12 feet wide and 12 feet deep, but that would be a little hard with a hand shovel. But if you had one of those massive, massive earth-moving equipment things, you could probably do it in a couple of days. You'd have the tools. Well, when we have the Spirit of God, we have the tools to do incredible stuff. So verse 1 of Matthew 10, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then it lists their names. And then it says in verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You've been given the Spirit of God freely. Freely use that power. Give, bring healing and deliverance with that power to God's people. Well, we'll break here. This has been a great introduction. We'll have another session on this next time in 2 weeks and wrap up the notes I have here. And Brian, I'll send you a revised set of notes to go with today's teaching and for the website. And then we'll be off and running. In the meantime, let's keep picturing ourselves completely healed. Let's be praying for opportunities to help others, where we can encourage them to believe God to heal, to be healed and stay healthy. We could pray for them, and as God chooses and as we are receptive, get revelation to bring deliverance to God's people. And it's the kind of thing you never want to be worried or nervous about. You just want to pray that when the time is right, God will help you. And just one quick thing in closing. We're all members of the body of Christ, and everybody's different. Some people are really good at helping in one area of the body of Christ. Other people are really good in another area. If I understand the scriptures properly, and having just lived this for decades, as you all have, I think the most important thing is serve in those areas where God has shown you and where you're strong and where you know you can be of help. And then if you want to grow in another area where you maybe aren't very strong or you haven't done much, you can certainly pray and ask God to help you and show you, and you can certainly study the scriptures. But I wouldn't get nervous and upset about it if you don't see huge results right away. It could be the manifestations of Holy Spirit and gifts of healings is something you've always been good at. Well, keep it up. Could be something you've never figured out and never gotten any results. Okay. Well, keep praying, asking God to show you. But don't get all nervous and uptight about it. Just pray, and as you are able to receive and God is able to work with you, you'll grow. And you may never grow to where it's a big part of your ministry to God's people. That's okay. You can serve in other areas. In that case, just pray that God brings somebody else in who's good at that. And I've just found this through the years, because there are certain things in the body of Christ I found I'm pretty good at. There are other things I'm not good at all at. So I don't try to beat myself up, because I'm not, like the hand says to the foot, If I'm the hand and not the foot, I shouldn't be jealous of the foot or be... condemned and guilty because I'm not the foot. Just be the best hand you can be. That's the way we all serve in the body. But at any rate, I'm going to pray now, wrap this up, and then when we meet in 2 weeks, we'll do the second half of this really long list of notes I have, and then we'll see if that's enough or if we want to continue on to further sessions. In the meantime, there's quite a bit on the website about this topic if you want to listen to it. In the meantime, and if you can't find it, just send me a note, and I'll dig through and find what class it's in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints. Pray that we can all continue to grow and be more confident in loving you, trusting you, believing you, living your word, bringing great deliverance not only to God's people, but also to ourselves in our lives. Thank you for this and for 2 weeks of great excitement, great joy, and great deliverance as we trust you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.